on the 40 Christian virtues that God wants every Christian to possess. So before we dive into number 4, we'll look in Hebrews 13:5, if you want to turn in your Bibles. Let's just review. We've looked at 3 so far. First, we started with boldness, and we had 3 memory verses there, if you're keeping track of memory verses. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion, and God hath not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. Then number 2 was commitment or consecration, Matthew 6:33. You all know that one in Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then we finished last week with compassion. And that was Romans 12:15 and 1 Peter 3:8 for memory verses. So today, number 4 is contentment. Contentment. 2 memory verses, Philippians 4:11 and Hebrews 13:5, which Mr. Scott's going to read for us, and then we'll pray. Hebrews 13:5. Notice what he said. Be content. Amen? Be content with such things as ye have. People quote that verse so often, but they only quote the second half, don't they? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it's one verse. It's one concept. And it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye had. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Very important that we get the context. Amen. But what is the point there? Be content with such things as ye have. So we'll look at some more scriptures on this. 4th Christian virtue that God wants every Christian to possess as we emulate our Savior. But first, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and the privilege that we have to study it together. May we learn, Lord, and may we grow through this study, through the power of your word. And Lord, just strive to emulate our Savior in these areas. So speak to us today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Contentment. God wants us to be content with what we have. Amen. Philippians 4:11, Mr. Sharp. So those are your 2 potential memory verses. If you're writing down memory verses so that you have one for each of the virtues, Hebrews 13:5, good memory verse, and Philippians 4:11, another good memory verse.
Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content.
Paul said, and by the way, he wrote this from prison, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment is a Christian virtue God wants each of us to possess. 1 Timothy, Mr. Cairns, 1 Timothy 6, 6-9. Beautiful passage on contentment. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy 6, 6-9.
By godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. They that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Amen. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Amen. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. What can we take with us? Only our salvation. Amen. Our soul. Our spirit, we cannot take any of our possessions with us to heaven. He clearly said that for us. And also Matthew 6, Roy, if you could read that for us, let's turn there. Matthew 6, 33, 34. Now we looked at 6, 33 under commitment, but now let's look at the following, that verse and the following verse under contentment. So, be content. Part of seeking first the kingdom of God is trusting God to take care of us. That's what this entire passage in Matthew 6 is about, isn't it? It talks about how he takes care of the flowers, how he takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of us. He tells us not to stress about things, but to be content and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So take no thought for tomorrow. Let's look at another one, Proverbs 15:16. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us. We're talking today about contentment. Number 4 under our 40 Christian virtues. 15:16. Yes, sir.
Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
Isn't that a great verse? Better is little with the fear of the Lord than having great treasure and what? Trouble. Treasure brings trouble. God says you're better to have little and have the fear of the Lord. We're to be content with what such things we have. So what's the opposite of contentment? What's that? Okay, discontentment. I guess I walked into that one. But what are some other words that would talk about the opposite of contentment other than discontentment? Yes, brother?
Covetousness.
Okay, right. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Yep. How about complaining, murmuring? Those all come from discontentment, don't they? And did Israel have a problem with that? As we've been walking Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, did they have a problem with discontentment? Yes, constant discontentment with what? Their circumstances, right? Now, our circumstances are never going to be what we expect or what we necessarily want in our flesh. Things never turn out the way we think they will. But God never changes. We can always trust him to do what's best for us. We know the heavens are home. The problem is if we let our satisfaction or our contentment be based on our circumstances, we're in trouble. Because our circumstances are never going to be what we want. They're going to let us down. So the opposite, of course, is covetousness, discontentment, moaning, complaining, which was a big issue with Israel, wasn't it? Why they had to be constantly chastised by the Lord. Philippians 2:14, let's look there. See this word that God wants us to avoid. Kelvin, if you could read that for us. Philippians 2:14, please. Murmurings. That's what discontentment leads to, isn't it? Murmurings, complainings. God says, do all things in our Christian life, on our Christian walk, without murmurings, without complainings. All things. And again, this was the lesson that Israel never learned. And why they kept having to get punished was for murmuring, complaining, being discontented with their circumstances. So we see that this is a virtue that God wants us to emulate, contentment. Be content with such things as you have. We brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. Be content. So thoughts or questions about number 4 under our 40 Christian virtues, contentment. Contentment and trust go together, don't they? Because contentment is saying, I'm trusting the Lord to take care of me and to give me what I need and what's best for me. Discontentment is essentially saying, which is why God had to punish it constantly, is essentially saying God is not giving me what I need. God is actually withholding things that I want or need, which makes God mean, makes God unloving, and so forth, which is why God had to punish it. Because it's an attack or an affront on God's character when we get discontented. Because we're saying God is not doing what he should be doing in my life. God is making a mistake or whatever, and that's sinful. That's basically blasphemous, really, against God's character. That's why discontentment is such a dangerous thing. So any other thoughts or questions about contentment before we move on to number 5, which is diligence? Yes, Brother Roy.
I think it's a perfect timing with all these Black Friday ads going on.
Yes, no, if you are on any media of any type, then you see Black Friday ads, right? They're all over the place, which is something they stole from America, because in America, the day after Thanksgiving, which we don't even celebrate here, they named it Black Friday a few decades ago, because what they were saying was that the retailers were in the red or in debt up until then, and they sold so much stuff between Thanksgiving and Christmas time that they made up the difference and went from the red to the black. And it became this big deal. And it went over the top. And of course, and now we have to deal with it every year. The big sales, quote unquote. But yeah, that all is based on making sure that people are discontented with what they have, right? They need a bigger TV. They need more of this. They need more of that. It plays on that, doesn't it? Good point. Any other thoughts or questions about contentment? Why are you laughing, girls? Did you buy a bigger TV this week? Yeah. All right, let's talk about diligence. Let's go to Proverbs 13:4 if we could. Mr. Scott, could you read that for us? Proverbs 13:4. Now, before you get excited about this word fat, it's talking about your soul. Amen? Not your body. It says the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. So here God's already told us what the opposite of diligence is. It's being a sluggard. So what's a sluggard? Kind of an older use Bible word there. Anybody? Yes, Beryl? Exactly. It's another word for a lazy person. Person who's not willing to work, not willing to get things done. So the opposite of diligent person is a sluggard. If you look at Proverbs 22:29, we'll see it again, Howard. But God wants us to be diligent. So can people think of some other words that would describe being diligent after he reads that verse?
Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before many men.
So what are some other words that mean some synonyms for diligent or even phrases? Does anybody think of any? Okay, faithful. We're going to get to that one because it is a little bit different, but it's faithful's part of it. What else? A diligent person. Okay, finish what you start. What else? Pardon?
Dependable.
How about hardworking? Right? Person who perseveres, pushes on, gets it done. A hardworking person. This is what all employees are looking for today, isn't it? People that are diligent, and they struggle to find them because so many people are sluggards or entitled. But God wants us to be diligent in everything. He even gave us a little parable in Proverbs 6, so let's turn there. And Mr. Cairns, if you could read that for us, Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 6. And he's using part of his creation, the ant. something that we're all familiar with is an ant. What's he want to teach us from the ant? So let's see. Just stop when it stops there, Brent, if you would.
Go to the ant, thou slayer, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O slayer? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travels, and thy want as an armed man.
So God created the ant, right? When he created everything else. And we never see lazy ants, do we? Now, they might irritate us. They might drive us crazy. But they're diligent, aren't they? They just are always working. They're always either searching for food or they're always either finding it and bringing it back to the nest. But they're always busy. And God says, I want you to look at the ant. I made the ant. I want you to look at the ant and learn from the ant. Who's he teaching? The sluggard. He's saying, don't be a sluggard. Be like the ant that I created. Be diligent in all that you do. Be hardworking. Be constantly working, because that's what I created you to do, is work. Amen? And he gives us many warnings. Before we leave Proverbs, let's look at a couple more warnings. Proverbs 15:19, Roy.
The way of the smartful man is an imperishable form. The way of the righteous may change.
And then if you would, go ahead and read Proverbs 18:9.
He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waste.
Okay, and 19:15. And 26:14. Might as well keep going.
The slothful man said, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets.
What was that? 26:14.
As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed.
Turn off the alarm and roll over, right? That's what the slothful man does. He turns on his bed as the door turns on his hinges. He just rolls over and sleeps some more. So is God warning us about being a sluggard? Yes. Do sluggards have excuses for being a sluggard? Yeah, well, he just read one. He put a little spoiler there. There's a lion without. So I can't go to work because somebody told me there's a lion wandering around somewhere in the wilderness outside of town, so I can't work. And there's one in Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. In other words, well, it's too cold to work today. Talking about a farmer needing to plow his field. Oh, it's too cold. I'm waiting for it to warm up. They always have excuses, right? And these aren't... This isn't praising the sluggard, is it? No, this is rebuking the sluggard. It's telling us we shouldn't be a sluggard, that instead we should be diligent. And then we get to the New Testament now, Matthew chapter 20. Jesus tells us a parable about someone hiring people in the market. Kelvin, if you could read verses 6 and 7 of Matthew 20. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Is Jesus in that parable rebuking idleness? Yes, he is. He wants us to be diligent. He also in Matthew 25, there's another parable. Let's turn there. Verses 25 to 26, where he again rebukes slothfulness. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us. Matthew 25, verses 25 and 26.
Thou hast, that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto them, thou wickedness,
God the servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow, not and gather where I have not strawed.
Wicked and what? Slothful. This is Jesus speaking to the servant in the parable. Wicked and slothful servant. Now, we have an animal called a sloth, don't we? Why is it called a sloth? Because it moves so slow. It's one of the slowest moving animals on earth. It moves so slow you can barely even tell it's moving. And Jesus here talks about slothfulness or the sluggard, and that's not what he wants. He wants us to be diligent. Then we get to 2 Thessalonians 3, if you want to turn there. God's anti-socialism passage. Howard, if you could read that. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 and 11.
Even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither would he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies.
Working not at all. Busybodies. Well, the sluggard has to do something with his time, right? And what he's saying is that if we're sluggard or if we're slothful, we're going to find other things to do, and it won't be things for God. It'll be sin. What's the saying? Yep. Lots of sayings about idle hands. And we see it in today's society and the teenagers and young people, don't we? If they're slothful, what do? They get themselves into trouble. But if we stay busy, if we're diligent, well, we get to the end of the day, we're tired, so we go to sleep. That's how God designed it to work. So God wants us as his children to be diligent. And the opposite of diligence, according to Scripture, is slothful and the sluggard. People who are lazy and not willing to work, not willing to be diligent in their business. In Romans, we'll finish in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Mr. Cairns, if you could read that for us.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Well, this is what God wants from us as his children. Amen. This is New Testament, Book of Romans. Not slothful in business. What's the opposite? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Amen. So not slothful in business, but serving God. We need to be fervent in spirit. That word fervent means to be on fire. Amen? Fervent in spirit. That's the opposite of being slothful. So thoughts or questions about number 5 under our 40 Christian virtues, diligence. Like I say, we're doing them alphabetically. And that can be one of your memory verses. I didn't mention that before, did I? But Proverbs 13:4 is a good memory verse for this one. Which is the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And then this verse here in Romans 12:11 would be a second good memory verse. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Thoughts or questions about number 5, diligence. Diligence. Yes, Brother Mark.
Characters, none of them in a sense were slothful in their serving and working for the Lord.
That's right.
From Adam naming all the animals, Noah building the ark, King David, those sort of they were busy people.
That's right. All of the Bible characters that we hold up as examples, none of them were slothful. They were all diligent, weren't they? They were hardworking people. And even when Jesus went and called his 12 disciples, he only called people who were already doing things. He never called anybody who was just sitting around doing nothing. He called fishermen. That's hard work. In Bible days, that's really hard work, fishermen. He called a tax collector. He called others, but they all already had jobs doing something else. And that tells us something, doesn't it? He didn't call anybody just sitting around not doing anything. And that's always been true. Even when you look at, as God's called great missionaries and evangelists over the past 2,000 years, even since the revivals began a few centuries ago, they were always people that were already busy doing something else. Because God blesses diligence, and he doesn't bless slothfulness. That's a biblical principle, Old Testament, New Testament. Then he should not work, neither should he eat. What a statement, huh? Any other thoughts or questions about number five, diligence? So next week we'll look at discretion, which is the same as circumspection or prudence. And we'll probably have time to also then